Let's rise and start singing our first hymn. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let them be put to shame and confusion.
Who seek my life?
Let them be turned back.
and brought to dishonor who desires my thirst.
May all who seek you rejoice
and be glad in you.
You are my help and my deliverer.
O Lord, do not delay.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
O Lord, make haste and help me.
Let them be put to shame and confusion
who seeks my life.
Your gift alone, your faithful people render true and laudable service. Help us steadfastly to live in this life according to your promises, and finally attain your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. From the Catechism, questions, I think it is 24. First is the first commandment. And the central thought here is that all people everywhere are constantly looking for happiness, identity, security, and meaning in life. So where do people today look to find these things? I want you to read Luke 12, 13 through 34. And notice the foolishness of the rich man and the reasons Jesus gives for putting our trust in God. As Christians, we look to the one true God for all that we need. This is the God who created and sustains us, who redeemed us by giving himself to be crucified for us in the God-man Jesus, and who sanctifies us through the power of his Holy Spirit. There is no other God. In what way does God generously provide me with all that I need for my daily life and eternal salvation? What does it mean to have a God? It means to trust in and rely upon something or someone wholeheartedly to help us in times of need and to give us all good things. Isaiah 45. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save. Proverbs 11. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall. Matthew 10. Jesus said, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Trinity is from the 29th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 7. The multitude of all the nations who fight against Ariel, even all who fight against her in her fortress and distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreams and looks, he eats, but he awakes and his soul is still empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams and looks, he drinks, but he awakes and indeed he is faint, and all his soul still craves. So the multitude of all the nations shall be who fight against Mount Zion. Pause and wonder. Blind yourselves to be blind. They are drunk, not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and has covered your heads, namely the seers. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I am not literate. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Woe to those who seek deep, to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us, and who knows us? Surely you have these things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? It is not yet a very little while till Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and a fruitful field be esteemed as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing. The scornful one is consumed. And all who watch for iniquity are cut off, who make a man an offender by a word, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and turn aside the just by empty words. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will howl my name, and howl the Holy One of Jacob, and fear the God of Israel. These also who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complain will learn doctrine. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. To continue with our gradual printed in the bulletin. I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth, the third chapter. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of the condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what was passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, written in the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 31.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and would have an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed. And he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Here endeth the gospel reading. Confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 12. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please be seated as we continue with the sermon hymn, and it's inserted in the bulletin. unclogged and restored by word and sacrament, based on he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen. In Genesis 1, after each thing that God creates, Moses writes, and God saw that it was good. At the end of the sixth day, Moses writes, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. You see, God cannot make a mistake. He can only do good. He can only create good. And the creation was good from the beginning. It was very good. It was perfect. There was no flaw in God's creation. Everything was made exactly as he intended it to be. There was no sickness. There was no lame or crippled animals or diseased trees. Adam and Eve knew no sin. They knew no pain. They knew no suffering. And there was no death. Dear saints in Christ, that is not the creation you see and experience today, is it? In this creation, you're plagued with diseases, pain, disabilities, and death. You aren't perfect, even at the best of times. You're all sinners. You don't walk with God like Adam and Eve after their fall into sin. No, your natural sinful feeling is to hide from God. You don't live in a perfect world. And it's so common for people to blame God for the imperfections. It's even used as an argument that God doesn't exist. Because if God existed, he would have made a perfect world. But you cannot blame God for the world's problems. No disease, illness, pain, disabilities, sin, and death are all your own doing. St. Paul writes in a letter to the Christians in Rome, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned." You see, the source of all your problems is sin. And you have no one to blame for sin but yourself. When Jesus came to earth, he found his good creation corrupted. They brought to him a deaf and a mute man. Christ created the man's ears and tongue, but they did not work. They did not work because the man was corrupted by sin. Jesus has come to undo the effects of sin. After Jesus healed the man, the crowd shouted, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is most certainly true. This proves that Jesus is God himself. He who saw in the beginning that all that he had created was good. This also proves that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed Savior of the Word. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that when the Christ would come, that the deaf shall hear. Jesus has come to restore his creation. Nevertheless, he has not come simply to cause the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Because eventually those ears will stop hearing and those tongues will stop speaking when they are in the grave. No, Christ Jesus has come to conquer sin and death itself. You see, when Jesus healed the man, he touched his ears with his fingers and he spat and touched the man's tongue. Why do you think Jesus did this? Well, the most obvious answer is that Jesus was communicating to this man what he was going to do. Remember that the man was deaf. He can't hear what Jesus is saying. So Jesus touches his ears to communicate that he will heal his ears. And he touches his tongue to communicate that he will break the bonds of his tongue. Jesus used sign language. And he still continues to use sign language for you today. Jesus uses sign language in baptism. In baptism, you have water poured over a person. This indicates that the old Adam and you should drop by daily contrition and repentance and die to all sin and evil desires. You picture the old Adam being washed away of the flood and a new man arising out of the waters after the image of Christ, who himself was baptized with water. In the sacrament of the altar, Jesus tells you that the bread is his body and the blood, the wine is his blood. Since Jesus is God, and he can do far more than you can ask or think, still he cannot lie. You believe him. Yet, why are Jesus' body and blood separated into bread and wine? I mean, my body, my blood is still in my body, as is yours, and as is presumably Jesus as he is enthroned in heaven. Why then are Jesus' body and blood separated in the sacrament? This is a sign language which teaches you that Jesus was sacrificed for your sins. A sacrifice is made when blood is poured out of the victim. Jesus is your victim. His blood was poured out upon the cross to make propitiation for your sins. In the sacrament, you receive the fruit of Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross, the forgiveness of your sins, everlasting life, and salvation, all wrought for you by Jesus' bitter sufferings and death. And this brings you to another point. Jesus' miraculous healing of the deaf and mute man. When Jesus healed the man, he looked up to heaven and he sighed. In fact, he groaned. He looks up to heaven, showing that all authority he receives from his heavenly Father. And he groans, because this heavenly healing took something out of him. Jesus must spend himself in order to restore his creation. This foreshadows Jesus' sacrificial death upon the cross. Jesus is your Savior. He's the one who takes away your sins. You believe that his word has the power to save you. Baptism forgives your sins and grants you new birth. The Lord's Supper forgives your sins, strengthens your faith, and increases your love for one another. How? Only by means of Jesus' cross. The waters of baptism cleanse you from all your sin and grant you new birth, only because they are joined to the blood Jesus shed upon the cross. The sacrament of the altar gives you forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, and salvation. Only because Christ poured out his blood for you and gave his body over to death. The absolution proclaimed to you, which calms your guilty conscience, is only true because Jesus groaned under the weight of your sin. Jesus' groan proves to you that there is no restoration of God's creation without the heel of the woman's seed being bruised. There is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of Christ's blood. Your forgiveness and your salvation were bought with a great price, the innocent sufferings and death of Christ Jesus, your Lord. The gospel preached to you and believed by your heart is not a cheap thing. Jesus groaned in bitter pain to grant it to you. The first thing that this deaf man heard was Jesus' voice. Now please, For what greater purpose did Jesus create this man's ears than that he hear the words of his God and believe them? And so just as this man's friends brought him to Jesus to be healed by him, so then you bring your children soon after they are born to hear the voice of their God. Before a child is baptized, their ears are clogged by Satan and his mouth bound, so that they cannot sing his praises. Nevertheless, in baptism, when Jesus' liberating words are spoken, the ears are unclogged and the tongue is loosened. Everyone's ears are clogged to the gospel and lips bound by Satan until Christ sets them free. And he does this in no other way than through his word. Baptism itself is empowered and joined to Jesus' blood through Jesus' word and promise. And so, you not only start out your life hearing the words of Jesus as he opens your ears and loosens your tongue, but you begin your weeks the same way. I don't like calendars which start the week with Monday and kick Sunday to the end. But I don't repent of this, because I'm right. The first day of the week is Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And having after rested in the tomb on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, the last day of the week, that is why Sunday and Saturday are called the weekend. They are fixed at the beginning and the end of each week like bookends. The start of the week then is on Sunday, not Monday. And for nearly 2,000 years, Christians have started their week by going to church to hear the word of God. There's no better place, no better way to start your week. You see, Satan does not leave your ears unclogged and your mouths loose after you are baptized. He works with the sinful world and your own sinful flesh to stop your ears and to cut off your tongue from praising God. This means that you need Christ to speak his epitha to you again. Just consider this past week or the last time since you were in church. What evidence do you see that you are not perfect as God intended you to be? What indications of your own impending death have you experienced? How does your conscience feel? Are you proud of all that you have done? Would you stand before God on Judgment Day before this? God has given you ears, eyes, mouths, hands, and a mind. Have you used them all to the glory of God? Have you looked at what you should look at and kept your eyes from evil? Have you listened and paid attention to God's word, or to that which does not edify you? Have the words you have spoken been charitable? Have they been kind? Have they been true? What have your hands been busy at? Would you be ashamed to reveal your thoughts to others, or to consider that God already knows them? The deaf and mute man wanted to hear and speak, but he could not. So he went to Jesus to be restored. St. Paul laments that the good he would do, he does not. But the evil that he does not want to do, he keeps on doing. The reasons are the same. The body is corrupted by sin. You review your past week and you see that your eyes, your ears, your mouth, and your hands, yes, even your very heart, do not work as God created them to work, and that you need to be restored. And you've racked up a debt by your sins, which is insurmountable, which goes way above your head. You need to be forgiven. And that is why you start your week by going to church, hearing Jesus' words, which he groaned in bitter pain to win for you. You are forgiven. You are restored. Those sins from which your conscience is afraid and ashamed are wiped clean. Each week, you get a clean slate by means of his holy word and sacrament. Jesus gives to you that which he has gained for you upon the cross with his bitter groans. And that is why King David says in Psalm 51, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You need the Lord to open your lips. He does this only by first opening your ears to hear his word. And unless Christ speaks to you, you cannot confess his name and be saved. And Jesus healed him. The man spoke plainly. The Greek word is orthos. That's where you get the word for orthodontist, meaning straight teeth. And orthodox, meaning right praise or straight teaching. Every Christian should be orthodox. You should speak the truth of God's word. Orthodoxy saves, because by it you learn the gospel. But you can only speak rightly if Christ speaks to you. Dear saints in Christ, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. To confess Christ as your Savior from sin is to confess that God has restored you. You may not feel that way now. You may still die and shed this outer form. But through Christ, you will receive a much greater life in the resurrection, when the entire creation is restored perfectly forever. So as long as you live in this fallen world filled with sin, filled with sickness, and filled with death, you return to him who restores you. Your conscience are restored week by week, year by year, until what you hold to be true through faith will come to completion. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, as the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' glory, we cannot gaze on your glory in heaven unless Jesus takes our condemnation and gives us his righteousness. Receive our thanks for Christ's redeeming work, and grant that we may confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that you have raised him from the dead to save us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, because none can call on you in whom they have not believed, and none can believe in him of whom they have never heard, send preachers who will speak your good news to all. By the message that Jesus lived, died, rose, and ascended for us, turn those who do not know you to faith in our Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Lord, strengthen all families and bless the children entrusted to their care. Be with those widowed and orphaned, that they may be protected and cared for. And be with the aged and the infirm, that they may be surrounded with them in God's love. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you are over all things. We pray for nations and governments, for leaders and civil servants, and for peace and justice here in our own land and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Larry, Rodney, and Isaac continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, your Son healed the senses of many and opened them to your grace. Bless Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Beth, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lisha, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tim, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, and baby Belinda, and all in need of health. And draw them nearer to you in faith. Lord, in your mercy, grant, Holy Father, to all who eat today at the feast of joy may find in the Savior's true body and blood a blessed foretaste of the feast to come, for the strengthening of their faith and for the growth of their love. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, you gather us by the work of your Spirit and dwell in our midst by your means of grace for the sake of your Son. Open our mouths to tell your name and declare your praises to all who will hear. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, those who die in Christ rest in him. With them we await the day when we are received into your everlasting presence to the life that death cannot end. Receive our thanks for the mighty saints of old and for their witness, preserved through the ages. Keep us in Christ, that we may be reunited with all who have gone before us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Mighty God, you have done great things for us, delivering us from death to life through Christ. Mercifully hear our prayers and answer them according to your good and gracious will for the sake of your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We continue with hymn 307.
Thank you.
should write and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, our Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord Christ, our Lord, have mercy upon us. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin.
True blood.
God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grant you baptismal grace. Take, eat. The true body of Christ. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the propitiation for all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the propitiation for all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the propitiation of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the propitiation of all your sins. By this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.